Welcome back. It is now we're going to be talking about February movies. The beginning of February, so we'll call it the first 14 days. Actually, it's pretty close to the first 14 days. They had a big glut on Valentine's Day of a lot of movies coming out, and then the following weeks they had like two movies each week, and we only saw one of each of those. So it's a long story. Yeah.
As we're looking back, I don't see a whole lot of Valentine's Day themed movies. I mean, we will be talking about Last Night. And one that we missed was Endless Love.
Right, and Winter's Tale. They all came out the same day.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about Winter's Tale. That one I purged. You saw it. I did not.
Right, right. And the thing is, the other one was RoboCop that came out that day. So, yeah, we're not really sure what that was all about. Well, you know, at least if the girl wants to go to the movie with a certain kind of guy, she can at least go see a movie with RoboCop. Where the other three that he's not going to.
No, not at all.
Yeah, so, but we're actually going to start the week before this, I was hinting at the last episode that we saw a movie that we thought could easily be a contender for next year's Oscars, which was the Lego Movie.
Yes.
Now, I'll read you the first portion of the article. It said, with the Oscars just a month away, it seems silly to talk about next year's Oscars, but after watching the Lego Movie, we can say with all confidence that we have seen an almost guaranteed Oscar nominee for Best Animated Film. Of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, which is, I just remember we were kind of going into it thinking, well, the previews were kind of funny, but how are they going to sustain Legos for whatever, you know, 90, 95 minutes? And
My younger brother loved playing with Legos as a kid, and I know that the Lego brand has very, very tight control over everything. Everything from, I mean, the actual physical blocks and their tolerance for their building tolerances to their actual products that they put out. So I was expecting something good, because I know that Lego wouldn't produce crap. And they really didn't. I mean, this was one of the better or best non-Pixar movies, animated movies that we've seen in a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, because first of all, it was very clever, and they kept it super up to date. They used a lot of older pop culture references, but it seemed like it was geared towards people who were very involved in today's culture.
Kind of what Lego does with its games and movies and everything else.
Is right. That it keeps even though it's a lot of Batman reference, it was the newer Batman. I just remember, you know, I can barely tell you what the story was, but I can remember that we just were laughing the whole time through the show. It was just one joke after another, and they all worked. But the thing is that they worked on the level of you and I, well, me, then you, and then the kids that were in the audience, too, were all laughing. And Lana, a friend of ours who also is a reviewer, she's sitting in front of us. She's laughing, and she's my age, and she's female. So she's having a good time with it. You just were sitting there thinking, this is a big movie. And
right. Well, again, I think that's Lego's appeal, is that it's the toys themselves, the blocks themselves, are for people, children your age, children my age, and children who are actually still children. I mean, they're not a kid's toy by any means. They span
generations. Strictly, yes. Yes, and that's the thing that's so true, is that Lego speaks to, well, I don't know when they first came out, but I think, wasn't it like the 50s or 60s?
You know, I can't say off the top of my head.
Well, every generation that's had their hands on them will have some memory of them, so I mean, I don't think they're going to be turned off by the Lego Movie being just a kids' movie, especially by the very savvy previews that they had for the movie that showed you that they had a good script going on, because you were laughing in the commercials and the previews for it. So you would think that it would transfer over, which it did.
Right. And the best part of it was that we did not get the funniest bits in the trailer.
Not at all.
As we often do.
Right. The funny bits in the trailer.
Right.
They were still here, but then there were more and more and more. And it just went on and on for the entire show. Yes. Never a dull moment at all. And
no. The voice actors was Chris Pratt and Will Ferrell being the two leads. Chris Pratt being the good guy, I believe, Emmett, and then Will Ferrell being the villain, Lord or President Business, as his name was. And Chris Pratt, who is known for Parks and Recreation, played the man-child, and that's kind of the character he always plays, but he plays him perfectly. And then Will Ferrell, which you and I have stated in the past, needs to be contained. He needs to be reined in, otherwise he just, you know, goes overboard, and he isn't as funny as he thinks he is.
Right.
And they really kept him pent in for this movie, and he gave a great performance, and the directors were Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. Not that I don't think they are known for a whole heck of a lot. Oh, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, right, in 21 Jump Street. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So the other thing that the thing I've liked about the Legos for quite a while, I'm not sure, and you remember Rick and Steve, the happiest gay couple in all the world. Yeah. Well, they were done with Legos. Now, I don't know if it was officially Legos.
But I doubt it.
But I can't think that you could actually get that close to what the Legos look like and not have it be somewhat okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because they look like, you know, Lego figures and Lego pieces. And although you think it'd be kind of strange with as funny as this was, I don't know. I should look into that since I've made reference to it in the review.
Right.
But yeah, this is one that was fun, and I cannot wait to see it again. Because I know I missed so much the first time around because it was so unexpected and so funny, and that just it was.
Well,
just,
you're laughing through a lot of the jokes.
It was machine gun joking. You know, there was always a funny moment, and you were always laughing through at least at the next joke. So I think there's like Anchorman. You know, with Anchorman 2, they have the whole second. They took the second disc on Anchorman 2's DVD and they put in all the jokes that they didn't use in the first one. So you actually have two movies, and I feel like I'm going to get a second movie out of the Lego movie because I haven't seen so much of it.
Right,
Anyway,
agreed.
Okay, moving on. The second movie we saw that particular week was called Monuments Men. Now, Monuments Men is a George Clooney directorial film about these gentlemen who were art dealers and museum, what do you call them, owners?
Curators.
And what they did was George Clooney collects up these guys who really know their art, took them to Nazi Germany, basically, to try to gather up all the art that the Nazis had been stealing from across Europe. And so when I walked into the movie, I really expected, I mean, anytime you get a Nazi movie, unless you're talking Hogan's Heroes, it's going to be a drama. Even with the Indiana Jones stuff, it's still more on the serious side than it is on the comical side. So the comical angle that was running through Monuments Men threw me.
Well, I think your comparison to Hogan's Heroes really kind of nails it on the head. It was a very light movie. And it was moved from a December release to a January release.
Actually, February. February.
Oh, was it? Oh, that's right.
Do not curse it with the January release.
Yeah, well, February's not much better.
Well, this one was, though. Go ahead.
But still, to go from a December release to a February release does not bode well. And like I said, I think you hit it on the head with the Hogan's Heroes. It was a very light movie. It didn't have any heft to it. And not only that, but now that I'm thinking back on it, we really didn't learn a whole hell of a lot about the art.
No.
You would think that a movie about this kind of thing, you would at least come away with some sort of, not lesson, but some extra knowledge and say, you know, that you could spout off to your friends and sound important. But again, now that I'm thinking about it months later, I don't remember any little factoid that I picked up.
Yeah.
Outside of those frescoes that were in Siena. I can't remember the name of the frescoes.
Yeah, there were seven panels, and there was a Madonna and Child in Amsterdam, because I was thinking, oh, that'd be kind of cool to get high to and go see. But That's the only reason I remember where it was. But I just remember there being scenes where, you know, they're tootling through Germany, and in any of those kind of war movies, when you're tootling through Germany, you're in for trouble. You know, there's always a Nazi gang, right? You know, somebody's right behind the corner. But when the music's going, I'm thinking, okay, these guys are fine. So there was no tension there whatsoever.
Right.
And I guess, I mean, I saw John Goodman and I saw Bill Murray in it. So I've got to think that it's not going to be a heavy drama, but I expected more.
I don't know. When I saw those guys, I thought, it was like a Wes Anderson cast. Ugh. I mean, Bill Murray's kind of played some very dry, non-comedic roles.
Sure.
And not so much Wes Anderson. How about a Wes Anderson meets Coen Brothers?
Oh,
that's
okay.
Kind of what I was thinking of.
Meets, you know, Charlie Chaplin. What? Okay, throw a couple more out there. Yeah, sure. No, but I mean, what I'm saying is that because of the storyline, because of the seriousness of the story, I expected that we were going to be Saving Private Ryan's artwork and not Ocean's 11 meets the Nazis. And that's really where it came down to me. I've seen the movie again since, and going in knowing that it's more comical, it's a much better movie. And I think it's, if you go into Monuments Men knowing that it's a lighter side of the Nazis, Nazi experience, then you're gonna enjoy the movie a lot more than you would if you think you're gonna get something heavy.
It's kind of like Springtime for Hitler.
Yes, yes, exactly. You're gonna have moments of hilarity. Coming out on DVD soon. So I think if people pick it up, they're gonna realize that there is a better way of looking at things. Like, I look at Black Swan as a comedy, and I like it much better than I do as looking at it as a drama.
Right, right. So,
okay, the third movie that came out that week was not actually shown to critics. It came from... who did it come from? I can't remember now. But it was called Vampire Academy.
And I did not see it.
And you did not see this, but I just actually saw it yesterday on a early screening... a screening copy before its actual... video release, and I remember when the movie first came out, or before the movie first came out, and they had these really hilarious previews that made it look like Mean Girls meets Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Buffy's even a little too dramatic for the way these previews looked, and I'm thinking, okay, it looked really fun, because it's like, oh, here's the two poor vampire girls being picked on by the rich upper crust, old family vampires.
Right.
And so I'm thinking this is what the movie is. Well, it turns out it's not that at all. It's about these two girls. One's a half vampire. The other is the rich old family vampire. They have run away because there's something seriously going on at the Vampire Academy. And so the half-blood is meant to... basically always be the companion. So there's this little lesbian kind of vibe going on of the
sounds very Buffy-ish.
Yes. And it's trying to be Buffy-ish. You know, it's what happens is they get brought back to the school because the school can take care of the old blood better than this young half blood who's been, I can't remember what the term was, but basically she's got the shine, and she and so her life is all focused on protecting this other girl.
Well, I'm looking, and when you said a half blood, you know, that's technically a damn fear, and and then they're known for their special powers,
right?
Because you know they're half bloods and the
sure,
whole thing,
right? Right.
So like Blood Rain was a damn fear, and then what was that god awful movie with?
Wait, is Blood Rain the one with Ernest Borgnine?
No, Blood Rain is the one that's...
I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. That's that's Blood Rain. That's different. Okay.
And anyway.
Sure.
But
so,
go ahead.
Yeah, and so basically it's, you know, it's twists and turns and who's really the bad guy and who's really the good guy. And it was like, I'm thinking to myself, where's all the comedy? I mean, you have a little bit of, you know, nasty looks back and forth at the girls and, you know, you try to trip one girl and make her look stupid in front of her ex-boyfriend. It was like, what a terrible movie. This is why they didn't want us to see it. It was just, first of all, they advertised it wrong. And then after they advertised it wrong, they didn't know what to do with it. They didn't know how to sell it, so they just kind of creeped it out and basically threw it into a few theaters, and then it was gone. So you can give it a try on video. I'm glad we didn't. Well, we would have told you not to see it on at theaters if you if we yeah. But my dog liked it. Honey liked it because she
Oh,
liked
that's good.
all the fighting and the surprises. She likes twists and turns like that, even though they were very obvious to me. But to her,
Well, she
she really enjoyed it.
well, she is a dog,
Yes.
so you
Yeah.
know.
Okay. And go ahead.
I was gonna say, and while you saw that one about you alone, I saw a movie called About Last Night by myself, and that is a remake of a play called Sexual Perversity in Chicago, which was also a movie starring Demi Moore and Rob Lowe back in, what was that, the 90s?
Well, actually, it was called About Last Night back in the
Oh,
90s as
that's
well,
right.
because sexual perversities isn't a title that drags in young girls. Yeah.
That's not going to play at Peoria.
No,
Yeah.
not at all.
No. And this time around, About Last Night was featured an all black cast, Kevin Hart, Michael Ealy, Regina Hall, and Joy Bryant being the main cast. And basically, Michael Ealy is single and happy about that. Well, actually, he just broke up. And Kevin Hart is his. Actually, we're not on the radio, and I don't have to watch my language. Kevin Hart's a pussy hound. He plays Bernie.
Ew. They really?
Yes.
We call that a wingman.
What? No. Kevin Hart. Michael would be Kevin's wingman. So Kevin Hart's a pussy hound, and he's trying to get his friend laid. He meets up with Regina Hall and Joy Bryant, and Joy Bryant is this conservative girl. She's only going out just to get out of the house. Regina Hall is this kind of cock crazy woman, and Regina and Kevin hook up, and then Michael and Joy hook up, and then the story shifts to Michael and Joy. They didn't want a relationship, then they do want a relationship, and then they move in together. And there's turmoil, ex-girlfriend, lost job, that whole thing. And they don't know if they can handle it. And it kind of gets really dry after that.
Oh, it wasn't dry before that. Okay.
when the move.
It's like every romantic comedy I love that you
Yeah.
hate.
Yeah, pretty much. And when the movie is focusing on Regina Hall and Kevin Hart, it is very funny, but of course they're the funny characters. It's supposed to be funny. But Michael Ealy and Joy Bryant, Danny and Debbie, they just, I don't know, they didn't have enough oomph to carry it through. I had no interest in the characters, excuse me, and it made me wonder, like, what kind of damage are these two carrying on that one, the lack of communication, and two, just this minor incident can set them to just split. But of course, that's romantic comedies. That's how they all work. It's always
That's right.
some minor thing.
Always minor. And it's usually when they discover that they lied about something to protect the other person, but they still lied, and that's wrong. Oh, and speaking of the previous about last night, the pussy hound would have been James Belushi in that one.
Well, they did change it up because from what I didn't see the original. So from what I understand, in the original, James Belushi and the other character fight the whole time, whereas this time they screw. So
Well, because
it's
in the original play, I believe the Kevin Hart's romantic character was a lesbian.
oh,
Yeah,
well.
and so that was in the play. So if you want to talk about true, put a pussy hound with a lesbian, we're going to be banging up against some walls there. So if I'm not mistaken, I think that she was a lesbian character. So.
I don't think I like the way that word sounds coming out of your mouth. Pussy
Yeah.
hound is
Yeah,
just.
I know. If it doesn't mean your dog is attacking a cat, I don't want to hear it.
Anyway, I enjoyed the movie for what it was. Again, it's interesting. It wasn't as good as that last all black cast movie that we saw.
The Best Man's Holiday.
Yeah, it wasn't as good as that, but it's still a very refreshing take to see a black movie that doesn't have Madea in it.
Well, and not just that. It's where people are people. We're not just focusing on them being slaves, maids, you know, servants
of slaves.
Yeah. You know, where they got jobs, but we don't care about their jobs because this is really about them and their lives and their people.
Yeah.
I mean, we got the butler. You know, it's just like, come on. I would much rather have seen his family because they weren't really interested. Oh, I'm going off on another movie. Forget it. But you know what I'm saying? I agree.
No, I agree. I know.
It's like the same thing they have with gay characters. They're either the flamboyant best friend girlfriend,
or they
have AIDS, and these are our two movies. You know, this is all we can get. So when they do have just a gay character, that's a gay character, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, where he's just like the gay character, and every once in a while he'll throw out that he is a gay man, and you're like, whoa, I keep forgetting that, and it's kind of nice. So
it is. It absolutely is.
And I think we're going to be seeing a lot more. More visibly black casts.
I hope so.
Yeah, me too. So, anyway, we're going to finish the rest of February off in our next installment. So, you can either move right there, or you can check us back in a little bit later, watch it or listen at another time. But that's it for this time. And I guess we'll
thank you for listening.
Yeah, talk to you next time.
Bye.